Good morning, Drift Run Church.
Good morning.
The substitute standing in again. We're going to be in the book of Matthew probably the whole time. But getting us started, doesn't it have been a great place to be this morning? And the word has flowed among us freely and participation and helping us to understand. And I think that's where our spiritual growth comes from mostly, is from Bible studies and Sunday school lessons and just services where we communicate one with another. I look forward to what God has for us in the preaching part, but we've got to understand the value that goes into the commentaries of talking one to another, to understand even one specific word, because most of us, if we're like most people in the world today, they don't want to ask about something maybe they don't understand. They just think, oh, I'm dumb, you know. Well, you got the dumbest guy in here standing in front of you right now. And we're looking at the Word. That's the important part, is the Word at face value, what it says, without complicating it too much. As we see in many things in our world today, in our societies, the more input that a man puts into it, the more fouled up it gets. Don't you understand? You know, we have so many examples of things that's just faltering because of man's input. So, in going on from that, we had our Burton reunion yesterday, and we had 50 some people there, and it was a good time. But at reunions, we look around and we have a lot of reminders, and that's what the, if this sermon is titled anything, is the reminders. We need reminders. And we'll look around and there's one of our great aunts will be 101 come November. And she's sitting over there with her two sons. And she's sitting between them. And you wouldn't think there was just maybe a couple years difference between us. How, not that they look really old, it's just that she looks really, from a perspective, you know how we are. Well, he looks way older than he actually is, or he don't look as old as he is, you know. But she doesn't look like, you wouldn't think she's 101. But anyways, back to this. So we do that once a year, and what are we reminded of at those times? We're playing the throw the bag game, and we look over and there's like six kids, all these little ones, six kids down there in that creek. I looked at Rodney, I said, man, I said, look at that. We done that exact thing in that exact place at that exact age. That was a subtle reminder. And then the reminders of well, such and such ain't here this year. Well, they passed away. Or they, whatever, but they're not here. We're reminded of the ones that we miss. So in going up to that, I'm thinking about, well, one more. I like mowing my grass, you know, and if you like most of us, I got a pattern, you know, I follow that pattern, and I'll go by this, I'm going to take care of that, and I'll go by this, I'm going to fix that, and I'll go by this, and you know, and the next time I see it, it's when I'm driving by going, I'm going to fix that, and I'm going, you know, so I need more reminders. I need to be reminded more often than once a week or twice a week as we have to mow now. But, you know, I think about our service to the Lord. I think about, and this is not to browbeat anybody or anything, because I thought of this in Tim's lesson, when mom and dad would be standing there and you're supposed to be home at 9 o'clock and it's 12:30 and, you know, you get this. Well, invitations to come to services on Sunday nights and Wednesdays. And I know we all got things that we do or whatever, but sometimes it's just a habit we do. Well, I go to church on Sunday. I never went on Sunday night, just never did. Good time to start. And there's not going to be one person standing back there going like this. Good thing you came tonight. So, with that being said, hear what the Word of God says, because we need reminders from this right here. We need fellowship one with another. How many people are here right now that you won't see again this week, unless you're here? You know, and we need one another. We live amongst people that say we're a hate group. And we know we are part of the greatest love story ever. We've received the greatest love story ever. So, with that being said, think about the value of coming together as we are. Matthew chapter 6, I'm going to read 16. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 21. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 21. And this all is just a part of the Sermon on the Mount. And that sermon, if you want to, in your spare time, whatever, in your Bible study, it starts in chapter 5 and runs through chapter 7. And it's Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, and he is speaking directly to us. Okay? So, Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 21 says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal." Listen closely. "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Let's pray. Lord God, again, we're just humbled that we can come together like this and we can bow here before you on this Sunday morning, Lord, on this glorious day that you have created. We ask for your guidance, your blessing. We ask for you to stir the hearts of every individual here this day, for we know you can. You know the hearts. You know the depths of our hearts. You know where our treasures lay. I ask for you to guide us to search and respond to the word here this morning. I pray again for our pastor and his family today, Lord God. Just bless them. I pray you'll bless those that are in their cars or homes, wherever they may be. And I ask for you to forgive me. And these favors we ask in Christ's name. And amen. Amen. With that being said, I remember there was a time when I really didn't understand that scripture. But in spiritual growth and with reminders of reading the Word, with reminders of being here, when I had this discussion with somebody just recently, you know, referring to money and you can put anything that distracts you from service to God into that same category. But Larry Burkett was a financial advisor years ago. He passed away from cancer. But he said, and quote, he said, "Money is a great tool, but a terrible master." And with that being said, it's when something outside of God and outside of your service to God controls your decision process. When it was a place where somebody was working and they had changed The corporation had bought it. It went from a family business to a big business, and the personal touch was going. All decisions was made by financial purposes. That's when it's your master. And that boils right down to each and every one of us. It can control you, really. And you think, I've got it under control. And that's what Satan wants you to think. But ask the Holy Spirit to guide you, to direct you, to reveal to you who is your master. Okay. So lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. Now that's pretty clear, right? Every new car you've ever had is not new anymore. They say you drive it off the lot, it loses so much percent of its value just for moving. And raw rust and moth destroy. And he's talking about destroying the physical things. He's talking about the moths that can eat your clothes and destroy all these physical things. The emphasis is on, and people steal your stuff. They want to steal your stuff. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Now, how do I do that? How do I lay up treasures in heaven? By having a relationship with Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us when you have received Jesus, when you've received Him into your heart, when you've confessed and accepted the precious blood of Jesus, because it says, without the shedding of the blood, there is no remission of sin. When you have made a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, your name's not written at the courthouse. Your name is written in heaven. Think about that, folks. Think about that. Your name. You know, you may not think highly of yourself at all, which in humbleness, we shouldn't think more than we are. But you are of great value to our God in heaven. You are of great value to the Savior who died on that cross, who shed that blood for you and me. For each one on a personal level. The Bible says, rejoice not that you have control over the demons and the spirits, but rejoice because your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now think about that, folks. Think about the value of that. And we need reminded of that often, don't we? We need reminded of that often. And I've learned from experience, because I was a long time one service a week person. In fact, early it was sneak into Sunday school and sneak out because I liked the guy that was teaching. You've heard me mention John Arnold and what an effect he had. But I learned now, the more I'm exposed to the Word of God, the more I'm exposed to people of like-minded feelings and persuasions, the more I can grow. And you know, it feels good to feel good in a world that is destroying itself, self-imploding. There's no better place than right here. Right here. And it's not because of this building or nothing. It's being amongst Christians. Amen. People that love us. Love one another. We may not know each other at the personal highest level, but we are brothers and sisters in Christ. And we need to gather together, just like that reunion yesterday. We could forget about all the turmoil in the world. We look around and see smiling faces. We are reminded of times when we played in the creek. We are reminded of times we rode ponies. We're reminded of the times we stayed all night at Grandma and Grandpa's and climbed up them steps and went up to the upstairs, and it was like climbing a ladder. It had a step this high and a riser this high and a step this big. And it was like, it was just like that. And it was great. That was reminders. And yet, we may not think about that again till next year. We need that more often. That's why we need to come together. That's why we need to encourage one another, to lift each other up, to hear the Word of God again. Have you ever heard such a sermon? Man, if I wasn't saved, I'd jump up and get saved. But I'm already saved. So I'm going to rejoice in the Lord that I'm already saved. That's what this is about. And I was thinking yesterday at that reunion, I like fried chicken. I like fried chicken. And Jeff gets the chicken from over to Piggly Wiggly or whatever it's called over in Elizabeth right now. They got the best chicken. You ever need chicken, go over and get chicken. But I'm thinking, you know, here we are in this world that's in total chaos, and we're in this building right here with 50 people. And as bad as the world is, that chicken was still good. You know what? And if we gather right here, this food is still good. It's good all the time. So we need it. So I'm encouraging those who maybe are in a habit of just one service a week or whatever, but you won't be disappointed when you leave if you happen to come. And like I said, there won't be nobody down there, and there's nobody keeping records. It's up to you. But I'm encouraging you. Do you want to grow? I hope you do. I pray that you do. We all need to grow. And how do we do that? By eating good food. Exercising. Or fellowship one with another. You know, one of you might be way down in the dumps. Oh, I'm just going to hide in the closet. I'm not going to do. But come and be refreshed. Yeah, and I've, in my own experience, I've come in, you know, whiny, whatever, and go away thanking the Lord that He loves me, that He's right there with me when I am in those disappointing moments or wherever it might be, those issues that go on in our daily lives. And to walk out of here refreshed, recharged. And it wasn't a thing a man done for me. It was a thing that the Word of God done for me. It was a promise of salvation through the shed blood of the cross that Jesus went there willingly to die in my place. That should be motivational to each and every one of us as we go out these doors. I was thinking earlier about when we leave here today, after what we've heard, what we've learned, that devil's going to have snipers sitting out there in every tree. There's going to be Scud missiles coming in just to blow you up. And just deny them and say, "Get behind me, Satan, in Jesus' name. I'm going to serve the Lord." It really works. So, just a quick example of a situation. Matthew 19, verses 16 through 22. It says, "And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said, Why callest thou me good? there is none good but one, and that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Okay, easy enough. He saith unto him, which ones? The rich young ruler is the person, young man. And he said, which commandments? And Jesus says, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I can do that. He's saying, yeah, I've done that. I've did that my whole life. So, you know, that's what's thrown at us right now. I can do that. Then the young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? And Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. So, to back up in 21, when Jesus says, if thou wilt be perfect, now Satan would want to tell you, well, you got to do it, but it's to be born again. It's to be saved. It's not a perfection that we can attain on this earth. It's a perfection that only Jesus can bring to our lives through his shed blood, through his perfect life. But he said, if thou go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Do you know what he's meaning right there? It's giving your heart, your full heart to Jesus Christ. See, he went from the physical outside shell of my man. I can do that. I can look good. I can do whatever and not kill and do all that. But we'll find that in the scriptures, spiritually, we're guilty of every commandment. We are. So, and what controlled that young man's decision? His great possessions. That money was his master. And where your master is where your heart will be. Jesus was saying, set that aside. Put that away. Turn from that. Whatever hampers you from being a Christian. Because the Bible says in Romans 10:9-10, if thou shalt confess that Jesus is Lord and believe where? Believe in my heart. That means not in words, but in spirit. And then confession is made unto salvation, that thou shalt be saved. So, that was an example of maybe, how do I want to say, somebody just wants to look the look, but not walk the walk. So I mean, and I've been that. So don't think I'm standing up here passing judgment on anybody, because I don't know nobody's heart. Only he does. But I've been that guy that wanted to have the good reputation, whatever, and still get into orneriness. God has changed that in my life because what? I gave him my heart instead of just act. But I gave him my heart. That's all God wants from us is our hearts. And we see the rich young ruler wasn't willing to give him his heart. What about you? So, in closing, I'm about finished here. I'm going to turn over to 1 Timothy 2, chapter 2, verses 3-6. Says, for this is good For this is good and acceptable in the sight of our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. Where do we learn the truth? Where do we hear the truth? We hear so much about the truth out there in that world, and there's not an ounce of truth flying around out there now. You can't trust anybody at any time for whatever, but you can always trust the Word of God. It is truth that's going to stand for generations. It's truth that is undebatable. You can stand on that truth. You can look in there and tell that there's a man and a woman. You can look in there and tell about the structure of the family. You can tell about the structure of rulers. They say our leaders need to be led, and we have a lot of leaders that don't look to be led. So where do we get the truth? Right here. Right here. At your homes, studying. Right here. Verse 5 and 6 says, for there is one God. Do you believe there is one God? You know, there is all kinds of tales being told out there. But we know there is one Creator above all. And there's one mediator between God and men. Who is that between God and us? Who bridged that gap between God and us? Jesus Christ did. The salvation of Jesus Christ was extended to all men. Because God didn't want anybody to be lost. He gave everybody the opportunity. He said, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Do you trust him today? And in closing, I'm going to go back into Matthew 6, 33. Matthew chapter 6, listen what this says. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 and 34 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? It's not being part of a denomination. It's not attending a certain church. The kingdom of God is having Jesus in your heart. That is the kingdom. The kingdom of God is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The kingdom is association with people of like-mindedness. The kingdom of God is His creation, His goodness, participation in God's plan. He said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow will take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. We can't fret about tomorrow. What can you do about tomorrow? Not a thing. We don't know nothing about it, but we know the God that created the heaven and the earth, He's already there. He knows. We follow Him. We seek Him first. We seek His guidance first. And if you want to keep being encouraged, get involved in the church, your local church. Get involved in Bible studies. Get involved in things that pertain to that. Because I've learned in my life, the more I hung around people that Christian, get me out of trouble. Because I grew up a follower. I did. And I just went wherever the wind took me. But now I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. How about y'all? And followers flock together. Followers look to the leader. This is the leader. This is the leader of our pastor. And he shows us that. So mind you, get more involved. Here's a reminder. We have church at 6 o'clock tonight. We have church at 7 o'clock on Wednesdays. Just come out and see what happens. You want to come get a song? If the Lord has spoken to your heart here this morning, because Satan wants you to think this is complicated. Accepting Jesus Christ is a heartfelt thing. It's easy. If the Lord is stirring your heart right now, today is the day of salvation. The Bible will show us clearly. Somebody will work with you if you need to be saved, and if you just need to come and pray and get something off your back or whatever it may be, or pray for if you're mad at the preacher this morning, come up here and ask for forgiveness because I just preached the word. Let's all stand and sing.